Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast on public policy and program evaluation. Today's episode will be a short one. I wanted to talk to you just a wee bit about the midterm exam and strategies for tackling that exam successfully. We don't really have any material to speak of in this episode, but what you should know about the material is that what will be covered on the midterm exam is only obviously what we've covered so far. So if you're looking at narrowing down what you need to hone in on first, I would always recommend starting out by looking at the exam questions. Definitely don't go back and reread any chapters or anything like that. Just make sure that you are taking the time to review the questions very early and hopefully narrow down on which ones you want to answer. Which takes me to a quick reminder, please, please, please do not do all of the questions. Do not answer all of the questions. There are 4 sections on the exam and you only need to answer 1 question per section. That being said, each question is gonna have a lot of parts. This is how I write exams whenever they are the kind of take-home version of a test. They have a lot of parts to them because you have a lot of resources available to you, including things like your textbook, your notes, the slides, any of the podcast episodes you can go back to. You can really use any available materials outside of collaborating with someone else. That is going to cover tip number 1. Begin early, look at the questions as early as possible, and figure out which of those questions you want to tackle. Hopefully, before the first day of the exam is gone, you have identified which questions you want to answer, which should allow you enough time, if you have the flexibility, to take your time answering those questions. Okay, tip number 2. Please do start early and work throughout the exam time period, because saving this all for a Sunday or a Monday, or this one's due on Tuesday, if you wait until Tuesday, it tends to be a lot to manage. So generally speaking, I always recommend day 1, at least pick out the questions. Day 2, begin outlining or writing your responses for the questions that you have selected. And whether you prefer to do outlines, whether you prefer to tackle a question just by sitting down and writing it all out at once, either strategy is going to work depending on what you prefer to do. I tend to say at least be sure to highlight the parts of the question so that you can address all of the subparts. If you're an outlines person, that actually really works pretty well with my exams so that you can outline what you need to talk about in each response. And then, of course, just get to writing. Don't ever hesitate to just start putting your thoughts down on paper or typing them out in this case. And then, of course, as you proceed through it, go back and match up where your response addresses each subpart of the question. Tip number 3. Please go ahead and call it good once you've answered the question. This is one I've confronted a lot with take-home exams. A lot of students will sit and analyze a question over and over and think about their response over and over, but you don't really have sufficient time to do that, at length at least. And it generally doesn't serve you all that well. Most of the time when I have spoken with students who spend days on one question, they find that, yep, they pretty much had the answer done within the first day, day and a half, and the going back actually detracted from them focusing on the remaining questions to be done on the exam. So it doesn't really serve you to dwell for too long on these. Please keep that in mind, and again, have some faith, some confidence in yourself as you write each response. You probably know this better than you realize, and the exam is just one way of having me assess how well you do know it. Tip number 4. This is very much an applied version of an exam, meaning that the questions are going to ask you to do a lot more translating of what you've learned into real-world settings. Take a look at question 1, for example. It's all about requests for proposals and how you might explain them to different audiences. And I mean this question 1.1, where it's asking about the different RFPs. those questions are intended to make you think about how you would address this with normal everyday entities and people who might be needing evaluation services, but who don't have familiarity with the language or the concepts and theories, and that you might need to explain a little bit. I mean, every single time I've done an evaluation, I've had to lay out the design, explain the approach, tell people exactly what we're getting at. But obviously this can't be done in super technical terms. The use of jargon in that context, not great, at least not in terms for improving people's understanding. So please think of this as, how do we do this in real life? Because a lot of those questions are going to be about, how do you approach this kind of situation, or how would you? Which also leads me to a little bit more guidance on that there's not usually a wrong answer. There are more high quality answers, usually because you've spent some time thinking about it for a while and you've sat down and written out exactly what you intend to do with the evaluation or how you intend to approach it. Maybe you make some modifications later on, but not too many. It's a lot about thinking through the process and knowing that, yep, there isn't really a right or wrong answer. There are better answers and worse. And the worse ones tend to be very limited and not really thinking through the question from the perspective that I'm asking you to think about it. Most of the ask is going to be, okay, how would you explain this again in the real world? So put yourself in that frame of mind and go ahead and get your thoughts out there and then go back and reread. Is it something that you would understand if you were approaching this with a fresh set of eyes? It's a little hard to do, but it's a great exercise, particularly in terms of, again, assessing how much you understand and what you understand best and what you can explain or not. All right, let's roll this into my final tip, number 5. Make sure you get this submitted by the deadline. I am pretty flexible, especially when it comes to having issues of emergencies, and of course that still applies with any exam. If you have a true emergency, please let me know when you can, and we can make arrangements to figure out the timeline for the exam. But outside of that, I cannot be flexible on the deadline for this one, and that comes with penalties immediately, really, after the deadline hits. So at 30 minutes late, you lose 5 points on the exam, which is the equivalent of 10% of the grade. At an hour late, we're looking at 20% of the grade, again, 10 points. It doesn't feel like a lot when you say the points, but that late element does contribute heavily to point deductions. So make sure you get it done on time. And if you really think that taking more time will help you write a better response to one part of the question, that's great. Go ahead and evaluate whether it's worth it or not, but keep that penalty in mind, because at a certain point, roughly 3 hours late, there is no getting an A, there's only getting an F. And that's not to say don't submit late, but if you can, please, please, please get this in on time just to avoid those point deductions. Okay, that's it for my tips on the midterm exam. I will say, as always, please email me if you have any questions or concerns. You can, of course, reach me at jemille@wsc.edu. On the side, completely separate from the exam, don't forget the additional assignments that are due right around now. We're looking at the project update survey, as well as the mid-course evaluation. That mid-course evaluation is the extra credit for this class, up to 5 points. If you do the survey, you'll get the 5 points. And I'm really looking for honest feedback here. What works for you? What doesn't work for you? What's working well in this course and what isn't? And what ideas and suggestions do you have for ways to improve? Okay, I'm gonna cut myself off there. I wish you the best of luck on the exam. Please have a great rest of your day, a good week, and I will talk with you again soon.